Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler and this is episode number 87. Great to be back with you as always. As I record, it's the beginning of May. The summer is definitely in the air, and I hope wherever you are, you're feeling that pleasant weather as well. Now, podcast at sightandsound.co.uk is that all-important email address if you'd like to get in touch with us. And on today's show, something completely different. Sight and Sound Technologies' Sharon Lyons talks to us about a month-long course she undertook in Barcelona all about forest yoga. About what? Stay right where you are and you'll find out more. Now, you're joining us today for a podcast that I think is quite different, possibly the most different one we've done since we started back in 2018, because we're not really talking about technology at all. But there is a loose connection, which you'll understand in a moment. I'm delighted to be joined by Sharon Lyons from Sight and Sound Technology, who works over here in Ireland as a trainer. Sharon, first of all, welcome back to the podcast. You've been with us a long time ago.
Thanks, Stuart. Hi, everyone.
You're a familiar voice on our Webinar Wednesday sessions as well. So I think people know you from that. Now, listen, we're not really talking about technology at all today.
No.
We're usually talking about tech or shortcuts with you and those kind of things.
That's right.
We're talking about yoga.
We are, yes.
Okay. And something that you did last year, which was a month, a whole month away from your desk, away from Sight and Sound, but away from your life, away from your husband, to go off and do something called forest yoga. And I think it's really, when we talked about this, Sharon and I have been talking about this for a little while, so it'll be really interesting just to get a glimpse of what that month was like. Maybe before we talk about why you did it, can you just tell us what is forest yoga? Because I think it might be different to yoga as we know it.
Yes, well, forest yoga is it's forest with two R's, and so it's not actually about trees. A lot of people think it is. It's about the lady Anna Forrest, who came up with this particular type of yoga, and there's a lot of crossovers between forest yoga and a kind of hatha yoga and Pilates. It concentrates a lot on core work and balance and strength and breathing. And it's taught in a heated room at 27 degrees, which is nice and toasty. You feel like you're in the med. But yeah, it could be described, my husband describes it as hardcore, but it's not really. It's just very much a strengthening yoga. I did it in classes as a student. I was working it out something like on and off for 18 years in the village where I live in Clane in County Kildare. And I just found it really, really good for me, for my posture, for my balance, for my core strength. And then COVID happened. So my yoga classes went online and I didn't really have the focus or the discipline to do the classes online. But what COVID did do, it made me really think about how much I missed the yoga, and I really like the type of yoga and always wanted to do the course, a teaching course, but you don't necessarily have to teach after. It was more just about kind of reflecting and doing the practice and a bit of a reboot, really.
So you were kind of thinking about this for a little while.
I was, yeah. Probably about 10 years ago I saw the course and was thinking about it, but it's quite a big investment.
Right, it's an investment in time, it's investment financially, I think. And most people might say, well, you know, I'm going to do a yoga course, you know, maybe for the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm doing a workshop for the weekend. You'd say, oh, that's great. Or maybe even a week. Mm-hmm. But you took on to do a month. Was it a big decision to make?
It was. It's something I really wanted to do. I just had to convince my husband that it was a good investment. But the thing is, what happened, COVID had taken away my classes, But actually, because of COVID, we didn't actually go anywhere for about 3 years. So we actually saved a lot of money. So in a way, COVID made it possible to go. But it was held in Barcelona, in Spain. So I actually lived in Barcelona for a month. It was 26 days long, every day from 8 till 5 on weekdays, and then it was 8 till 6:30 p.m. at weekends. So it was pretty full on, and you had homework. And then it had a 3-day anatomy course in the middle, which was kind of normal hours, and then a half-day business course for people who were thinking of starting their own kind of yoga practice, which was very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you went off to do this, I knew that you were going to be very much out of contact, or what do they say nowadays, off the grid.
Off grid.
You would not be available at all. But we work in Sight and Sound, I think, in an environment where, you know, inevitably you do get some contact. If you're on leave, somebody pings you an email or sends you a WhatsApp maybe about something that they need, and in general we can reply, but you weren't able to do that. Was that
not
difficult?
Easily.
Yeah. Was it difficult to switch that off?
And it wasn't so hard. I have to confess I did have a little look at my emails every now and again just to make sure there wasn't anything being missed, you know, or I might have actually forwarded you a few text messages, but I knew that you were looking after my emails too, and I knew that the tech support team had it all in hand and were dealing with any issues, so I wasn't worried. I could just switch off completely, and I didn't really have a lot of time, to be honest, to think about anything else. But
I was wondering, because when you told me about it, and when you came back, when you told me about it before you went, and then when you came back and talking about all the stuff that you'd done, it struck me a little bit like being in the Big Brother house. I know you weren't obviously like you weren't living with these people, but you were pretty much with them all the time, and when you went home you were just going to bed. Was it a bit like that, being just locked in with these people?
Well, no, it was actually fab, because I think there was about 29 other students, as I remember, and lots of different people from different places, from America, Austria, Germany, France, England, Ireland. I was the only one from Ireland. Australia, Spain, Italy, you know, so there was a big mix of people. And you think, when you go into this, you think, okay, I'm going to spend a lot of time with these people, and you think, okay, I'll probably get on really well with a few of them, and maybe I won't really, you know, I won't really click with everyone. I got to know everyone and had a connection with every single person on that course. It was just, when you're in that kind of intense course together, you just you kind of bond, and everybody has their own kind of challenges throughout the course, or some things you find more difficult to master than others, and we just all helped each other, and the mutual like peer support was just amazing.
Is there a lot of soul searching on a course like this, a lot of reflection? Do you well, I'm sure you learn things about yourself, but it sounds, from what you've told me in the past as well, that there was a lot of just maybe time to reflect on maybe where you are now and what you're grateful for. That was one of the things you talked to me about.
Yes, that's right. It was very challenging, obviously mentally challenging, because there was a lot of stuff to learn. It was physically challenging because it was quite long days and you were pretty much doing quite intensive yoga for most of the days. The anatomy course was quite mentally challenging, but there was a lot of reflection. There was a lot of looking at your life and thinking, like, does this serve me or should I get rid of this? And like you say, looking at what you're really grateful for. So you stop and you look at what you have, and you just really appreciate it. I didn't get overly homesick over the whole month. Like, I obviously missed my cats and missed my husband, obviously. And don't ask me which one I miss much more. But I really enjoyed it. I'd say the opportunity to go and do something completely different for an amount of time and live in a completely different country for like a month or even a few weeks is such a great experience. It just really takes you away from everything, and like I say, it really makes you reflect on what you do with your life and what's good for you and what's not good for you, and then you can make the changes that you see fit. And the big thing with this course is it didn't force you to make any changes. It didn't ask you what your changes are, what you're going to do. It asked you maybe to be accountable to another person on the course, but they didn't force you to do anything, didn't tell you what to do with your life. They just left it for you to reflect and go at your own pace, kind of thing.
Okay, and we'll talk about maybe after the course in a second, maybe things that you might have changed or what you're doing with the course. But just for people listening, this is really interesting, give us, if you can, an example of a typical day. I know there was probably no 2 days the same, but what kind of a routine did you have?
Right, well, I got up very early and would get up and shower and have a cup of tea and then head into the class, and it started at 8 o'clock, and we had 3 hours of a yoga session which included music and kind of meditation, but a lot of kind of, you know, intense yoga in a very warm room. It was quite a challenge physically. And then we'd have a 2 hour lunch break where you'd go and have a shower, get changed, and then grab some lunch and come back, and then we'd have another three or four hours of basically teaching each other yoga and coming up with different sequences and learning how to have variety in the classes and what kind of different sequences in the class to follow to guide you when you're planning classes. We had nutritional talks, we had then teaching practice where they would video us, and then we'd all sit around and watch ourselves on the video and critique. The teachers would critique what we were doing and give us encouraging words as well as things we could do better. And then some days we went to the beach afterwards.
Very nice. Okay, a bit of a social aspect.
Yes, they dragged me. The young ones dragged me down to the beach a couple of times. I wasn't sure, but I really enjoyed that. I went for a swim.
It sounds like, you know, just from the way you're talking, they're really intense, physically and mentally exhausting.
Yes, yeah. I did get really quite tired during the course, and I almost went home twice. But I was told by my yoga teacher that I had taught with, that I'd done classes with for those kind of 18 years on and off, as I said. And she said, see it through to the end. That was her advice. See it through to the end, because it will be a great achievement and it's a great course. So, and also, the whole of Sight and Sound knew I'd gone away for a month to do a yoga course. If I came back halfway through, they'd all be like, oh, no, you gave up. I couldn't give up. I couldn't let it slide down.
And actually, that was kind of, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, I would have had people in the company refer to it as, oh, yeah, Sharon is on her retreat. So we were calling it a retreat, so we were calling it a workshop, and we were at pains to say, well, it's not, because, you know, obviously a retreat is sort of different. Yeah. This was a very hard-working course. I remember you sent me a WhatsApp, I think, on the last day to let me know you're now a fully qualified yoga teacher. It sounds like that was a really proud moment.
Oh, that was the best moment. And we were all buzzing that we'd finished, and, you know, and then we had to say goodbye to everyone, which was kind of, we were really all happy that we finished the course, and then we were all sad because we were going to say goodbye and go back to our different parts of the world. But I know that we were all chatting so much and happy, and we had to be told to be quiet several times because there was actually a yoga class going on next door.
Right.
So we were all like, whoa, yay, we did it. And they said, can you keep it down a bit, please? So that was funny.
So you came back, to work, and I suppose that part of your life has returned to normal. But Have you made changes, maybe in your own practice, because I know you're still teaching yoga, or in the way you live your life? Did things change for you after that month?
Yeah, and like I'm still the same person. I actually lost weight on the course, and I feel a lot healthier from doing the course. I just learned so much, and I actually didn't plan to teach, but I'm now teaching two classes on a Saturday morning, and I absolutely love it. I felt like it would be quite a hard thing to do after the course to teach, but I can really see how good the course was, and it kind of comes naturally to me because of the way the course taught me and prepared me for teaching classes. The thing is with forest yoga is that it's a very kind of, it demands that you are authentic as a teacher, and that you tell the truth to your students, and that you also walk the walk yourself as well as teaching. So it's made me, because I owe it to my students to keep my own yoga practice up. So I try and do two classes online. I'm doing online classes, but I have more focus now and more discipline to do that, because I don't want to let my students down. In fact, I was looking at the manual for forest yoga, because it basically encourages, embodies, examines, and demands you to be true to other people and true to yourself. And I looked up, the word integrity is in the manual 20 times. The word authentic is in the manual 22 times, but the word truth is in the manual for forest yoga 150 times.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a big part of it.
Okay.
So it's good to be yourself with something, and get the training so that it becomes something very natural to do.
There might be people listening to this show who are, maybe they are either yoga practitioners already, or it's something that they're very interested in. I mean, I'm not suggesting that everybody goes off to Barcelona for a month, but do you recommend something like this for people, maybe on a smaller scale for some people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I really recommend that. It's very good to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, that was so out of my comfort zone on so many levels. And the funny thing is, because I'm a trainer, like I've taught people for many years, but I'm a techie, so teaching people yoga is a completely different way of teaching. So it was a real challenge for me. I thought I'd find it easy-ish because I'm a teacher, but it wasn't. It was very different, and it was really interesting to recognize that.
Did you find yourself as a trainer going, don't know if I would have approached it this way? You know, the way we all do these.
I couldn't
things.
Be possible. Okay. But no, it was, I mean, like, I am a techie and I like things to be practical and logical, and forest yoga is very practical and logical, but you have to try and get out of your head, which is where you are as a techie, and you kind of have to be more aware of your body and what's happening in your body, and by doing that you can really kind of prepare yourself for life, and you can really, you know, you can notice the tweaks and the things that are tight or stiff, and you can work through them and basically sort them out yourself.
Well, Sharon, it sounds like it was an incredible month. It sounds like you learned a lot about yourself. You met some really great people.
I did.
And you did something that clearly you've been thinking about for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So, and thank you for, I suppose, coming along and for being so honest. We're using that word honest again, to share it with us on the podcast. It's something very different, and I have a feeling that's going to be very popular, people who will have heard your story. So thanks for joining us. And next time you come back, we will talk about technology.
Okay? Yeah, okay, I promise, yeah.
And thanks a million for
thanks,
your time.
Thanks, Stuart.
Well, I don't know about you, I thoroughly enjoyed that piece. Certainly not the usual thing we do on this podcast, but it's something that Sharon and I had been talking about for a long time. Let's get you on the show and talk about
just something completely different, and that maybe people wouldn't normally do in the average working day. But many thanks to Sharon for such a great interview. Hope you enjoyed that. We're back with regular programming on the next episode. More technology to come. But until then, from Stuart Lauren, everybody at Sight and Sound Technology, thanks for listening. Take care and goodbye.